However, in the book of Acts, chapter 10, the last time we got down to verse 27. So if listening by the means, we invite you to call us at 856-261-9018 or give us an email. Questions at vfpbc.org. Glad to hear from you. And give us a question or comment or simply say, well, Acts chapter 10, let's begin reading verses 28, 29, and 30, beginning at verse 28 together. He said unto them, you know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. For God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Our verse 28. What is the scene here? Who is the he referred to? He came unto them. Who is the he?
Peter.
Peter's the one that was sent. Remember, Cornelius is in Caesarea, and Peter was in Joppa, and he was sent. Three men came to Peter and said, go down to Caesarea and meet Cornelius. And that's what he did. He came, and he talked to them. Notice in verse 27, how many people were gathered there with Cornelius? Many people. So this is an opportunity. And what is Peter going to do? Speak to these men. What are you going to tell them?
Explain to them the gospel.
Explain to them the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for sinners, and give them the gospel message. So notice in verse 28, what was the unlawful thing that the Old Testament was very clear about in verse 28?
It's Jews
to not keep company with anybody that's not a Jew. But in that same verse, verse 28, what did God show Peter? Differed from the Old Testament to the New.
It was okay to do
it. It's all right. It showed me it should not call any man common or unclean. What does it mean, common?
Common thing. Whatever's common.
In other words, not specific.
Right.
Not special.
Not rare.
It's ordinary. So, and so in verse number 29, why is it therefore there? Therefore, verse 29.
Because of the proceeding, because of all the vision.
All right. Because the Lord showed Peter, he was not to call any person, any Gentile unclean. He had come to the Gentile, not just simply the Jews. And because of this vision, what happened in that vision, by the way, earlier in this chapter? What did God show?
A great sheet that came out of heaven and had all manner of unclean beasts contained therein.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this vision three times.
It said, rise and eat, right?
Yes.
Rise and eat.
Yes.
And Peter objected, first of all, nothing's unclean, but he said, rise and eat. And so that was the vision. Nothing is common or unclean. Then in verse 29, I came without gainsaying. What was gainsaying mean? Without gainsaying.
Any profit, any financial profit.
Profit, that'd be one thing. Any objections of any kind. Notice, how long did it take Peter to obey to go down to Cornelius in Caesarea?
Right away.
As soon as I was sent for. How long should it take us to do God's will when he reveals it to us?
Right away.
We needed to have the vision repeated three times.
That's right. But we've got to do God's will. Where do we find God's will today?
In the Word of God.
The Word of God, in the Scriptures. And as soon as it's sent for, we've got to obey. I ask therefore, now, what was Peter's question of Cornelius? In verse 29. What was his question?
Why did
you send for me? So he wanted to know exactly the purpose of why he was coming from Joppa to Caesarea. Yes. Why he was sent from me, Joppa to Caesarea. Alright, and then in verse 30, Cornelius told him. And how long ago did Cornelius get a message from the Lord?
4 days.
4 days before. And how did that happen? What does it mean, I was fasting? What's that mean?
Not eating.
Until this hour. And what time did he begin praying there when the angel came?
The ninth hour,
which will be what? What hour does the Jewish day begin?
Six in the morning.
So ninth hour would be what?
Three
in the afternoon. I prayed in my house. And what happened when he was praying there in verse 30.
Man stood before
me. That's right. Who was this man?
An angel.
He's an angel, all right? He's an angel of the Lord. And he stood in bright clothing. Let's read verse 31, 32, and 33 together. And said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, and thine arms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the sea, and those are the three, are they? Give me three verses.
No, we're into 33 yet.
33, all right. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done, for thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Do we read 34? What's our three verses?
No.
31,
32, 33. Okay, that's 30. Okay. So 31. Now, the man in bright clothing, what do you think that person was?
Jesus.
Angel of God. Hospital Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what did the angel say to Cornelius in verse 31?
That he heard his prayer.
Heard his prayer. Does God hear all of our prayers?
Yep.
Yes. Those that are unsaved, does he hear the prayers of the unsaved?
He hears the prayers of the righteous.
All right. He hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears somebody who wants to come to Christ and accept him. But the righteous, those that are generally saved, his heart is open, his ears are open to their prayer. That's right. So the prayers are than alms. And remember, what are alms?
Gifts.
Gifts. And he said that. So apparently he was a giving person, even though he's a Gentile. He gave. And remember, it says he was a devout man. And so he wanted something to do with the Lord. He hadn't been saved yet until Peter came and probably led him to the Lord. In remembrance in the sight of God. So God saw all of his deeds. He was probably helping the Jews. He was helping people in Caesarea. And then what did the angel tell Cornelius in verse 32? Did we come to 32 yet?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He wants him to call Simon Peter.
Okay. Where does he have to go to get to get it?
Joppa.
And we heard last week, how many people did he send to go get it? How many people?
Three.
There were three. Two servants, and who was the third?
A soldier.
What is it?
Three.
Two servants, and then a soldier. Of Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion, which means what?
Over 100 men.
100 Roman soldiers. Cornelius was over. He was a head. So he sent one of his soldiers, a devout man, a very closely related man, there, and went to Peter, Joppa, and sent to Joppa and call hither. What does hither mean?
Here.
What does thither mean?
What's what?
Thither.
Hither.
What's the difference between hither and thither in the old King James?
Here to there.
Hither is
to here.
To here, and thither is
to there.
From here.
From there.
From there. So thither is to here, and thither is from here.
From.
So thither and hither. Hither, thither, and yon. Remember, here, there, and yon.
And everywhere.
It's like the hence and the fence. Hence is to, fence is from. See, it's just the TH versus the H. All right, anyway. Come hither, come to here. That's what it means. Come here, Simon, whose surname is Peter. What does surname mean?
First name.
That's the last name. That's right. What was his first name?
Simon.
The last name was Peter. All right. Okay. He's lodged in the house. Lodged meaning? Did he get stuck?
Staying.
He's just staying there. He didn't get stuck lodged.
Living there.
Simon a tanner. What does a tanner do?
Works with leathering.
Works with leather.
Leather and taking the stuff off the leather.
Oh, it's very, very tedious work. And that's why Simon was lodged by the seaside. Apparently a lot of water there to clean up the animals. And it was good to have a thing at the seaside. And when he cometh, what's going to happen then?
To talk to him.
When Peter comes, to speak to thee. Who's the thee? Who's the thee? Well,
Peter.
Well, who's the he? When he comes, who's the he?
Isn't Simon Peter the he?
He's the Simon Peter. He'll talk to thee. Who's the thee?
Cornelius.
He'll talk to another. When Peter comes, he'll talk to Cornelius. Talk to thee. We read 33, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay. So, what was Cornelius' action as to time? What was Cornelius' action as to the time of it, according to verse
32?
Immediately. I sent to thee. Who's the thee there? I sent
Peter.
To thee. Peter sent to thee. And thou hast well done that thou art come. What does that mean, well done?
You did a good job.
And it's profitable, because that's what the angel said. You will come, and you did God. It's good for you to come. Profitable for you to come. So then, therefore, we are all here present. Who's the we here? What do we know about those that were gathered at Cornelius' house in Caesarea? According to a verse preceding. Remember in verse 27? Who's there?
Many.
See? So Cornelius, why would Cornelius, still an unsaved man, who called for Peter, why would he invite all these many, many people into his house today?
He's expecting something.
And did he expect something good?
Yes.
He expected something good, didn't he? He wanted these other people to hear what Peter had to say, to hear the gospel. So, in a sense, he was like a forerunner, sort of an evangelist, even though he wasn't saved himself. He knew that what he needed, and these other people needed it too.
But then he called his kinsmen, that would be his family, right?
Yes.
His friends,
their kinsmen. So, now therefore, are we all here present before God?
Yes.
Were they there for present? Just for eating? Were just there left for eating? What was the purpose of being present there in verse 33? To hear the word of God. Some people come to church just to eat. That's all they care about. Feed them, then they leave. They don't care. Mm-hmm. But he came to hear the things. What type of things did he come to hear? In verse number 33. What kind of things did he come to hear?
Things of God.
I commanded thee of God. Now, how many things to hear? A few things?
All things
commanded, that are commanded to thee. Who's the thee referred to? Who's the thee?
Cornelius.
Everything commanded Cornelius, thee of God. In other words, God is the one that's going to be giving these things through Peter. We stopped at 33, then we can read. Okay, let's go 34, 35, and 36 together. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. 34, opened his mouth, and what did Peter say at the first?
Of a truth.
He said, this is a true thing. And what was the truth that he told them?
God is no respecter.
No respecter. What does that mean, he's no respecter? Person.
That the Gentiles
being accepted
with the Jews.
Yes,
this is, I
perceive. All right.
In other words, after he had to go through this learning experience with his vision on the roof,
mm-hmm.
in Joppa at Simon Tanner's house, that God was not a respected person. He perceived that. He got the point.
He got the point finally, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
After three times, that sheep coming down with clean and unclean animals, I perceive. In other words, God has no favorites. Do people have favorites?
Yes,
they do. All kinds of favorites. What are some of the favorite things that people like about other people?
If you're handsome or if you're pretty.
Handsome or pretty, that's a favoritism of
right.
people.
What if else? You're smart. If
smart
you're
or dumb, that's what they're okay. Do a lot of people like dumb people?
No.
No, but you can if they're fuzzy. In other words, we have to minister whether they're smart or dumb. It doesn't make a difference. What's that?
Dumb.
What does dumb mean, literally?
Can't speak.
That's right. What we mean is whether they're intelligent or unintelligent. Does God respect one or the other?
Exactly.
Does God respect you?
No,
there's no respect for a person.
My sister couldn't talk. We don't know what she did.
Right.
She was very loved by her family.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fool or not, then you could use that to say.
If you're what?
If you're a fool.
A fool, that's right, absolutely.
Or if you act like a fool.
But see, some people have all different things, whether rich, whether beautiful, whether handsome, whether powerful, whether strong, whether able or disabled. There's favoritism, but not with God. He's no respecter of persons. Does that mean that we should not try to please him? No matter who we are? Does that mean we should not try to please the Lord? No respecter of persons? No. You've got to please him no matter what. In verse number 35, he says, what's he say about every nation? What's true in every nation?
Can I say something about verse 34?
Mm-hmm.
Because God's that way, should we be that way too?
Yes, we should have more respect for
persons. We should love all people.
That's right. What does John 3:16 say? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved the world. How many people are in the world? What kind of people are in? What type of people are
we called?
It's rich, poor, bad, good, wicked, corrupt, as well as some people who try to do what's right. They love the whole world, and he sent his Son to die for this. Yes, go ahead.
Sure, go ahead, Antoinette.
I want to just say that, does everybody here believe that churches are no respecter of persons? Do you think?
No.
Bishops are all churches loving arms and open arms? And
no, it's really not
whatever state a person is, should they come in this assembly and be accepted or be loved?
It's not true in all churches. We have all kinds of people coming in our church, and we accept them, wherever they are, whatever they think.
And you love them?
Yes, we love them. But do all churches do? The question is are all churches the same? I don't believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them respect the high, the mighty, the well-to-do, the handsome, upscale. Yes.
Some churches are cults.
And some churches are cults. And what is a cult? How do you define a cult?
Maybe Scientology. That could be one.
Scientology?
Yes, Scientology.
Scientology?
Yes.
Scientology.
Yes. Right.
A church that does not preach Jesus Christ as being a deity, being fully God and fully man, would be a cult.
That's right.
Those
doctrines that are not biblical doctrines would be a cult. That's correct.
A church that has deviated from the truth.
That's what Pastor Dan is teaching every Friday from 3 to 4:30 on this history of fundamentalism, because there's so many churches started one way and completely changed. Schools start one way, completely changed.
Yes.
Our association of churches, and it's a terrible thing, floating around, and so today. Yes, sir.
I ask you a simple question. Can you please get a simple answer? I'm not trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Look. John 3:16. Why do some people say Jesus only died for the elect? I just need a simple answer.
Simple answer.
Yes.
Because
why are people goofy?
Here's the answer.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand the scripture and they're wrong. Is that simple enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because how can be only believe, and other churches too, they only believe the elect.
See, because they don't understand John 3:16, God so loved the world, not simply the world, that the whole everybody.
But I called him up, but I said this in the past. I talked to him many times over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I just can't go by that verse. That's what he said.
Was he right or wrong?
He was wrong.
Pastor Dan.
To pick up what Antoinette was saying before, in James 2, 1 and following, my brethren, have not many, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons.
Mm-hmm.
We come into thy assembly a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, and we come into also poor man in violent raiment, and respect to him that weareth the gate clothing, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place, and saying to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Are you then not partially yourselves and become judges of your thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath the God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. So it's the idea of rich in faith. That's what we have to focus on.
Rich in faith.
Rich in faith.
Yeah.
That's proven. All right. So we in our church, Eddie, very strong on Christ loving the whole world and dying for the whole world. Very, very strong on that. And it's all scripture, all over the world. Now, there are a few verses that seem to teach their view, the hyper-Calvinist view, a few verses. But there are many, many verses that teach the opposite view.
Right.
And one of the key interpretive principles is this. When you have the huge number of verses, you have a few verses that sort of interpret the few that seem to be different in the light of the many.
Yes.
That's the type of understanding and interpretation. Yes.
I'm not trying to be negative, but other people call them up and say that isn't that the Bible contradicted itself. That's what other people would call up and ask him. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, the Bible's not contradicting himself, that Christ only died for the elect. And I don't believe that for a second.
He contradicts the Bible.
Can't you just say, God knows everything from the beginning to the end? Therefore, if you use the word elect, it's because he knows who's going to be saved.
Well, see, he don't put it that way.
Yeah, but he knows from the beginning who's
going
to be saved.
Did he only die for those he knows to be saved?
Well, no, but
did the Lord Jesus only die for them?
Exactly. No, but he knew from the beginning.
Anna, that's true. Anna, go ahead.
He's sufficient for all, but efficient for those who believe. As someone has said many times.
Very good. Sufficient for all, but efficient for those who believe. Anna?
I was still listening to what Anna was saying. Sufficient for all,
what is it? For efficient for those who believe. Sufficient, but efficient for those who believe.
Okay.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
wow. Whosoever will may come. So we who want to come into that tunnel, we go in there. We turn around and we say, be chosen before the foundation of the world. But then, that's one thing. And as I'm talking, corporate election.
Mm-hmm. Corporate election. In other words, the Lord Jesus has called a group he calls the church, those that are genuinely saved from all eternity past, the body, the church. As we trust Christ as our Savior, become a part of that body that has been founded from before the foundation of the world. So it's an elect group, but those of us who trust him become a part of that elect, chosen group from before the foundation of the world. That's one way of explaining it. Yeah, Bill, that's something. Go ahead, Bill.
I was leaning towards the same way. That once we become saved, we are part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We are the elect.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Brother Byler, can I just add to that?
I was going to say that verse that says, many are called, few chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you think. And then the other verse I wanted to mention was, my sheep know my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a differentiation between people that, you know, you could say, I accept Christ, but do you hear his voice? It says, my sheep know my voice. So, you know, I guess I've been on both sides of this fence.
I hope you'll come around.
I just want to say that I understand both sides of it.
All right.
And I'm more like towards what Joanne was expressing, that, you know, he teaches the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
What's most important to focus on is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ
and
his word.
As it says in Mother Scripture, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The hyper-Calvinists say you don't have any will.
Mm-hmm.
And because Christ didn't die for you, you can't come no matter what you are, what you do. Mm-hmm. That's unbiblical, unscriptural.
It's
he died for the sins of the whole world. He invites everyone, whosoever will, let him come. And Bill.
The only thing that we actually can do is make that choice. As in both verses that you were referring to, it is the believer who makes that choice to accept Christ, as well as the others to accept. But all the work after that is done by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that. There's also that verse that says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God."
Mm-hmm. A sinner has to.
Okay, so we can't even seek after God. It's because the Holy Spirit draws us.
Yes.
That we come to that knowledge of Christ.
But we have to give in.
But he also stands at the door and knocks. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is open
the door.
And faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word.
The previous verse, answer I just quoted, isn't that referred to as the depravity and the wickedness of man?
Yes.
Now they're turning away, running from that. Yes, the Holy Spirit's got to convict, and the Holy Spirit has a certainly a role.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation definitely has a role in salvation. 2:1.
Okay, Rob, go right ahead from Chicago.
Hi, Pastor. I want to say hi to everyone and thank Brother Warren for the blessings for us there. And I looked up Scientology, and lo and behold, there is a movie out this year called Scientology, and there's fabulous people that open up the church, so I'm sure there's going to be a cult following of Scientologists soon.
Yes. Okay, well,
thank you. One of the great verses against four unlimited atonement would be 2 Peter 2:1, and that's the one, but there were false prophets also among the people, that even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them.
Yes.
And bring truth to that. So, that's just one verse that's very profound, that he died for the whole world.
Very good. Let's wave to Rob there in Chicago. Thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate that. All right, I hear another part. Someone's coming here. Let me see if I can close this. Someone else was calling.
That's what this funny sound for.
Someone's playing sound. Let me see if I can.
Just right here. All right.
See, I kind of just close this and close it and send. And then I heard from Jacob. Jacob, call back again. All right, yes, Dave.
People like camping have taken a system of doctrine, mm-hmm. which is way off mm-hmm. to the left, mm-hmm. and just not taken what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. I always believed in the train tracks theory, that you have to have both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Free will, whosoever, mm-hmm. and that the Lord chooses,
mm-hmm.
and you have to believe them both if you accept the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way I understood it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to stop right here, but we'll pick this up right along. Yes, Anna, go ahead.
I just want to mention Daniel W. Whittles.
Anybody Whittles?
Whittles.
Go ahead. You go ahead. We'll wait for you. You're first.
Let's
right ahead.
Get the phone call first.
Yeah. Jacob, right ahead. Jacob Romer from Texas.
I was thinking of these two scriptures. This one is in John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
That's right.
See?
All men are gone. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, yes, wave to Jacob from Texas. Wave to Jacob. Okay, thank you, Jacob. All right, Anna.
Did you have another verse?
No.
He said
that was it.
He had two.
Oh, my. Jacob, did I cut you off?
Call back again.
Well, let's see what I got.
Well,
I thought he was stopped there, but it's
me too. Let Anna talk then.
He was not.
Reading.
Can I ask him a question?
No breathing allowed.
Jacob, did you have a second verse, or is that just the verse you want?
Oh, no, I had one more.
Well, go ahead. I'm trying to cut you off. Go ahead, Jacob.
That's okay. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as promised, but as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish.
Yes.